I have invited the PGA together with the Golf Development Board, as well as another golf development organization from Khayelitsha. I'm not sure where they are now, but they should still be coming. So I should just bear with them. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I think we should invite you to introduce yourself and then you type the presentation. The machines are not working today. Yeah.
So I didn't bring the presentation, I just printed something out. There's a table for you to have a look at and I'll explain it all.
Okay. This is the one. Okay, put the link of the regulation and put it in that
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ivana Fikalvi. I'm the Chief Executive of the Professional Golfers Association of South Africa. And I brought with me the representatives from the South African Golf Development Board, and headed up by Ken Falunia. And Ken, would you introduce your team?
Chairman, on behalf of the Golf Development Board, thank you for inviting us. My name is Ken Fagan. I'm Managing Director of the South African Golf Development Board. On my left here is Grant Hepburn, who's our Technical Director of the Golf Development Board. Behind me here is Simon Jakala, who is Senior Coach of Western Province. And the next team is Andre Roussin, who's our Manager of Communications and Special Projects. Special projects we talk about lots of stuff.
Not that fun. Not worried about special projects.
Okay. As for the document I sent to, I think as the PGA, I'm just going to give you a brief understanding of golf in the country. Golf is a completely different sport to other sports. Currently in South Africa, we have five bodies. Okay, so you've got the PGA of South Africa, you then have the Sunshine Tour, you have Women's PGA, you have the South African Golf Association, and then you have Women's Golf South Africa. So those are the five bodies at the moment. The big reason for having so many bodies within golf is that golf is one of the few sports that has a clear differentiation in the rule book. So I've got the rule book here. Between amateur status and professional status. And, you know, South Africa, we govern by the Royal and Ancient, which is a body that governs golf worldwide. They're based at the Home of Golf in Scotland. And basically, an amateur golfer is someone who plays the game for enjoyment. And they're restricted to the size of financial prize that they can win. On the other hand, like a professional golfer, they earn an income from the game. So I believe Louis Oosthuizen last night, who finished second, that's his livelihood. And this is a smaller version of the rules of golf, handed out, every golfer gets one every 4 years. I just want to read from page 163 here, and I'll give you a clear understanding. Amateurism in sport is much less common today than in the past, as the governing authorities for the rules of the game, the RNA and the United States Golf Association, have therefore conducted a fundamental review of the rules of golf. The RNA and USGA have concluded that the distinction between amateur and professional golf should be maintained, and that the wholesale removal of the limits and restrictions placed on amateur golf is not in the best interest of the modern game. In particular, it is agreed that because amateur golf is largely self-regulating, both in terms of the playing rules and handicapping, uncontrolled financial incentive could place too much pressure on these important features and could be detrimental to the integrity of the game. So golf, unlike soccer and other sports, is self-regulating. There's no referee walking with the players all the time. So you obviously, you know, you call penalties on yourself. But there's actually a whole section in the rulebook called the Rules of Amateur Status, and clearly defines, and one thing it says here, the purpose of the rules is to maintain the distinction between amateur and professional golf and to ensure that amateur golf which is largely self-regulating with regards to the rules of golf and handicapping, is free from the pressures that may follow from uncontrolled sponsorship and financial incentive. Through appropriate limits and restrictions, the rules are also intended to encourage amateur golfers to focus on the game's challenges and inherent rewards rather than any financial gain. So that's the big difference in between the two. Just to give you an overview of golf currently in South Africa from research that we've done, we have an estimated 300,000 active golfers in South Africa. Now, active means there's someone who plays a round of golf more than twice a year. But of 300,000 active golfers, we only have 130,000 affiliated golfers. Now, an affiliated golfer means you are now a member of a golfing facility. You actually pay membership fees to a golf club. So golfers who are members of golf clubs, or a virtual golf club as they're known, and we have 455 golf clubs or golf facilities in South Africa. And how it works is that as an affiliated or amateur golfer, you pay an annual membership fee to a golf club. The golf club then in turn collects what is called your affiliation fee for the respective unions or provincial union, and in golf we have 14 provincial unions, and then the provincial unions then pay that affiliation fee over to either Women's Golf South Africa, depending on the amount of lady members at a golf club, and the South African Golf Association, who handle the men's body. So the WGSA, Women's Golf South Africa, they're headed up by a lady by the name of Cynthia Rayner, who's based in Cape Town, and Colin Berger is based in Durban. He's their president. Now, the funds retained by each union are used towards golf in that union. So basically, that would be junior golf, amateur golf, club league golf, mid-amateur golf. Mid-amateur golf is a new thing that came about a few years ago. It's for anyone over the age of 35. You have senior golf, which is over the age of 50. And then each union does their own sort of contribution in a way towards golf development in the region. And then the funds paid to the main bodies is basically used towards national tournaments, national colours, and any national squads that they may have. But please understand, this is a brief understanding because those two bodies obviously aren't represented here today. But clearly the SAGA and the WGSA, they manage the amateur players. But the clear distinction then comes in, if a player wants to now, if an elite player needs to take the next step, they become a professional golfer. Now, there's numerous ways of becoming a professional golfer, and I'm going to go into the context of our three bodies. We have the Women's PGA. They only have only a member of, they only have a membership base of 30 members currently. They manage golf tournaments just for those Women's PGA, and the SA Open was recently held on the KZN South Coast, I think in the month of July. It was the first time since 2009. They're a body that have for a long time struggled to find sponsorship for tournaments, even though the top South African player, Leanne Pace, won the European Tour Award of Merit a few years ago. Then we have the Sunshine Tour, and this is a body that controls men's tour players. So it's headed up by a gentleman by the name of Selwyn Nathan, and they have only 250 members. And this is a body that handles tournament golf for men, and they are one of the five members of the International Federation of PGA Tour, so they're quite a big player in the golf industry. And they're obviously the flagship body. When everyone thinks of golf in South Africa, you think of Ernie Els, Retief Koersen, Louis Oosthuizen, and Charles Swassel. They're all members of that that body. Now, the only way you can join that body is you have to go to what is called a tour school, just to give you an idea. So a tour school is a, you go to school, you pay a certain amount of money, you play six rounds of golf. If you finish in the top 30, you are now a full member of that body. And then you play for money and you lose your amateur status. The key thing is that a professional player can never come back and play in the amateur body. I'm just going to give you a brief explanation of the PGA South Africa. Now, the PGA South Africa, set up by myself, our offices are Royal Johannesburg and Kensington in Johannesburg. We have a board of directors of 8 people. We have a memorandum of incorporation. We are the only body in the country which is a non-gender association. So we have 48 female members who work in the golf industry. So the big difference between the PGA and the Sunshine Tour or the WPGA is that you have a professional golfer who earns money for a living from playing in tournaments, and then you have a golf professional who works in the golf industry. So our guys, like Grant over here, yeah, you coaches, we manage golf facilities, we run the pro shops, we retail, those kind of things. Currently our membership is 520 full members of the association, and we have 180 apprentices who study a 3-year diploma, and they work under a PGA professional. The PGA South Africa is also a body, founding member of the PGA World Alliance. And basically all the World Alliances came together a few years ago and said the PGAs of the world need to own the education. So we have a 3-year diploma called Club Professional Golfing, and that's registered with SAQUA at the NQF Level 5. And you actually right now, we deal a lot with the CATSITA in regard to registering it and the correct documentation. But it's a recognized diploma and you're able to study it. So if an amateur golfer would like a career in golf at the moment, you either become an apprentice member, which means you go and you work, you find employment in the golf industry under a PGA professional, you do your three-year diploma, you study part-time, or option two is you can attend one of the 7 accredited tertiary institutions in the country that offer the diploma. That's also a 3-year course. And then to become a member of the PGA, you need to complete your apprenticeship hours. We also have 2 other programs that we're in the process of doing with SAQUA, which is called the GAP program and Level 1 coaching. The PGA of South Africa, with regards to development, we have 2 CSR projects, if you like to call it. The one is called GolfWise. We're in partnership with Correctional Services. We go to Glencoe Prison. Every year we train 8 offenders to work in the golf industry. They do a year program. At the end of the year, they qualify. And at the moment, we then try to find them employment in the industry, which is always quite difficult because they've got to be quite close to Glencoe Prison, not a lot of golf courses in the Natal Midlands. And then we run a program in conjunction with the Special Olympics. As everyone's aware, with the Olympics, as everything happened, you've got Paralympics. The Special Olympics is for people with, we do 15 schools in the Greater Johannesburg region. They come, they do a 6-week program. Everyone gets to come play at a final. And we actually, in 2011, last year, a team went over to the Special Olympics, which was held in Greece, and the South African golfers finished 1st and 2nd, winning gold and silver. So that's what the PGA does with regards to golf. But the PGA is really not the body that should be behind the growing of the game or driving the growth of the game. We're only an association of 500 members. We only make our money through our education, through our membership fees, and through sponsorship, which generally goes to tournaments. And the respective amateur federations should grow the game, but the PGA creates develops the people to work in that industry, and we offer continued professional development, continued study, so the guys always grow. And they're the people who work, as Grant does, in the SAGDP and drives growing the game of golf. We do have a program that we've tried to launch, but it's kind of self-funding. It's called the Grow Golf Association. It was launched at our flagship event, which is called the Telkom PGA Championships. It's held at Country Club Johannesburg every year in conjunction with the Sunshine Tour. We have a Level 1 program, which the idea was to go into schools, get a teacher at the school qualified on Level 1 coaching. The school would then offer golf as a PE sport, or an after-hour sport, where the teacher could then teach the sport. But unfortunately, it would be something where the parents would pay the school as much as any other sport. The school now play ball, any kind of added-on thing. But the idea was to attach that teacher to a PGA professional who would then mentor them, attach them to a club, and through that we would create junior golfers who would then go into golf clubs and play. But like I said, it's a self-funding project. We have at one stage tried with CATSITA to get it into other schools and to do it as a big program, but it was identified as a not a, a non-critical skill shortage, should I say. Just to give you a brief overview, because obviously golf is in the Olympics again from 2016, and just to clear up the confusion around golf with regards to the Olympics, is that the team will comprise of professional golfers. So it's a professional golfer who represents South Africa in 2016. There'll only be 60 men and there'll only be 60 women, and the only way you can make that team is through the official golf world rankings. So, you know, if we as South Africa had to pick a team today, based on the world rankings today, you would have Lou Oosthuizen and Ernie Els, and you would have Leanne Pace and Ashley Simons. How it's going to work to try to get it over, it's an individual tournament as per always, and you have a maximum of 4 to a minimum of 1. So they would go down the world rankings until they got to 60 players. But like in the women's body, you have 45 Koreans in the top 100, obviously not 45 would play, their top 4 would play. So what I'm trying to say through all of that is in 2016 and 2020, your current professionals in the already playing the game will be the team that represents South Africa. But as an association, as a golf in the country, we need to identify players for 2024, 2028, and I think that's where all the programs would like to come in. And so a top amateur needs to be identified to go that way. And just a note before I hand over to the SAGDB, America is a country of 30 million golfers. Okay, and one of the big things with America is they can never understand why a country with 100,000 golfers can win so many major championships and have such a major influence. And since Tiger Woods exploded onto the golf scene in 1996, America's only produced one other player like Tiger who spent 1 year on tour. And they've got 30 million golfers. So you understand how difficult it is. And what we do through long-term athlete development is we basically say that from the time a golfer gets coaching, it takes 20 years to get you to a level where you can now compete and win a major championship. So that's just, you know, you can ask questions of me if you'd like to do it now with regards to the bodies and PGA, but I think with regards to your question, the reason I asked the SAGDB to come involved, they're the body that runs golf development in your regions as per your question. I just wanted to clear up how the golf bodies work. It would be nice to have all 5 of us working together. The women's, you know, the 3 professional bodies work together. The 2 amateur bodies have a bit of difference and infighting at the moment. But, the PGA is, like I said, is a non-gender association, and we strive to educate people and get them into the game of golf. Okay. I'd like to hand over to Ken Fullin from the Golf Development Board.
Mr. Chairman, would you probably like to ask questions?
Maybe I find out what you do. Our members and then on your presentation and what you can take it taking us through what are the whole issues about and what that and
thanks ever so much, Chairperson. And thanks ever so much for what golf and professional golf is doing for this country of ours. We are on the world stage every weekend, and because of golf and our golfers, and thanks for what you are doing. Now, I have perhaps a technical question. I think last week or week before last, and it's about amateur and professional. Now, a tournament was won by an amateur, but his caddy was a professional. And then they said, Chairperson, that the second person who was a professional, he was now the winner of the tournament. But I know that a caddy gets a percentage of the winner's purse, or he's sort of paid. Now my question to you is, how in such an instance where an amateur wins and he has this caddy, what happens to the caddies first? Because caddies are also important to us in South Africa.
I think what's important there is that an amateur golfer, because they can't win money, if in a professional tournament, they forfeit that prize fund. So the caddy would unfortunately lose out on any share of that purse, because that purse would go to the person who finished second. But that's the rules of the game. So the amateur knows when they get invited to play in a professional event, they're not entitled to win any prize money. You know, so what they can do is, an amateur golfer, you can say, listen, I'd like to turn pro and take the money. I think you can, eh? You can. So you can say, listen, I'm turning pro right now and take the money. But then, you know, you lose any sort of amateur status you have. So that person, if they were now going to play, because in September now we have the two elite events for amateur golf, which is the World, the Santo Espirito for women, and the Eisenhower Trophy for men, which is what every amateur golfer aspires to, represent your country at those two events. And so if you win a tournament and you become professional, you lose, and you also, you never know what sort of relationship that person has with their home federation. You know, so they don't, so with regards to the caddy would lose that, but he would know that before he, the caddy would know that before he teed off, though, that he would be forfeited, yeah.
He can't force the player now to turn professional.
No. Yeah,
thank you, Chef. This is a good presentation, but unfortunately, you know, one could not follow this thing because the documentation is only received this morning. And it's quite thick, and one is very, wants to know what's happening really. And for you to engage and understand properly, it's to have gone through the document. But be that as it may, you've spoken about in your second page of this document, I see that you've got a Women's Golf Association and then you've got Women Golf of Africa. What is the difference between the two? Then you speak about 14 provinces, stroke regions. Can you clarify? Because I know that there are 9 provinces in South Africa. I don't know where that the others come from. So if you could clarify one is that. Then, in this document here, I've just turned to them. I don't follow this document. You talk about the regions, you say Bolen. There's two. Then you've got another 3 Bolen. Where's the province? Then you've got another few provinces. And I don't understand this thing. Can people just please explain?
That'll be under the SAGDB.
Yeah,
they come now.
Okay. So one would want to understand this thing, because as members of parliament, we were constituencies as we do oversight. So we want to know where is this so that we can go and see. Are these things there? Or is this just only papers which you send to parliament? Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not very much knowledgeable with golf. But my question is, I would like to know, how do you help develop future golfers, especially in the rural areas? Because, you know, you'll realize that people staying in the rural areas are not aware of a lot of things. And what role do you play in trying to help these people understand, you know, what is happening outside there, especially in the golfing world? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and we also thank for the presentation given to us. The question that I want to ask, I'm not too sure whether it's going to be answered with the other presentation. I also want to check those provinces that are not appearing on your list. What is it that you are doing about them? Are they having their separate bodies, or they don't have people who have interest in them? Provinces like North West, Limpopo, and the others. And also, do you see yourself maybe, or how do we see ourselves talking about disabled people in golf? Don't we have people who are interested in playing golf who are disabled? And if they are there, how far are you about it? And the question of doping, we hear that in sports there are these checkups of people who are using whatever. Is there a procedure, or are they also testing people who are playing golf? And if yes, what is the rate of people who are that illegal stuff while they are in court. The last question, do we see us helping kids in schools, especially disadvantaged schools, about grooming them from that age group to also become professional golf players in future? Because as I hear, they take about 20 years to develop a golfer who's going to be professional. So do we see them, you know, starting at that level? Thank you, Chip.
That what we should do is to allow the next presentation.
Well,
and at 7, I think we'll continue to go to what some of the person are much more about the development of golf in our country. Maybe to allow, of course, members of the public are invited to the invited to the presentation. Unless they are invited to participate in the discussion, to do that. They would have many questions that they want to pose themselves. And of course, always meeting of parliament, meeting of committees are open for members of public to come and hear what is happening in parliament, or how these men and women are representing them, representing them in parliament, and how Mackenzie is representing them when there is a case like that. And the members of the public are allowed to attend all our meetings. But they're only speaking that are invited to. And that's what we do, just to ensure that they participate fully in terms of this, you know, what are the issues. The girls themselves are very interested in seeing golf developing in many of our families. I'm told that they're from the academy, that is the Rainbow Academy, Golf Academy, from Khayelitsha, all of them are here also facilities, so they're interested in golf themselves. Maybe also that playing golf already, I don't know. We'll of course invite one of them to meet and to see what they need to talk about. That's how we are through with this presentation. And okay, now I think it would be a good idea, Ivan, to conclude on some of the issues that you think are relevant. Some of the questions that about broader development of sport, as well as golf, I think then Ken, as you come in, to give you then some.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll go through, just make some notes. There is a South African Disabled Golf Association. They do host tournaments. They have some good players. It's not an Olympic sport because of the different categories, but there is an association. They get quite a lot of their funding through the Sports Trust, and a lot of that funding is done at the Nedbank Golf Challenge, so they are quite involved there. Ken may have a few more points on that. I unfortunately don't have much. We have two members of the PGA who are part of that body, who are currently studying to become members of the PGA. With regards to Women's Golf South Africa, the Women's PGA, there are two separate bodies. The Women's Golf South Africa is the amateur body, so they look after amateur golfers. I'm not too sure what their numbers are. The Women's PGA, like I said, are 30 members. Very small body. Rural areas. I think Ken will get to that. The reason there's 14 provinces or regions within the SAGA is I think that's just how they've split the country themselves into how they have it. They just have 14 provinces. I think down here in Western Cape you've got Western Cape, you've got Boerland, Southern Cape. It's also got to do where the golf courses fall within the region. So you've got Eastern Cape. So that's quite, like the PGA, we have 5 regions. So we slightly, I think it's also just to where your membership base is concluded. With regards to testing the banned substances, because it is an Olympic sport, at every professional tour event, 2 or 3 players are tested for banned substance. But because golf is a sport that relies a lot more on hand-eye coordination and not brute strength, you don't generally find players using banned substances that are on the list. I think there's been 1 or 2 players worldwide caught on much smaller mini sort of tours, and that's been more for recreational drug use than any sort of banned, anabolic steroid or something. With regards to golf in disadvantaged schools, the PGA took our level 1 program to the CAT CETA to try to get funding to do something, but it was highlighted as not a critical skill shortage, so the funding there was coming, and we're still looking at other ways of getting funding to do that kind of project. But I think all the other questions relate to the South African Golf Development Board, and I think I'm going to hand over to Ken, who's been doing it for 11 years.
Okay, no, thank you very much for that. And Ken, I think we are ready now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We are putting bridges
in
it.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I will just give a brief general overview of the South African Golf Development Board and state where we are in the country and so on, because I think this hasn't been done before. So if you bear with me for a few seconds, I'll just... Golf has a unique place amongst all sports. Its history, its handicapping system, environment and its relatively moderate physical demands open up its, to players of all ages, ability, gender and background to spend quality time together. It's a wonderful means of enjoyment and provides a rare opportunity to spend time with other players. It is therefore no surprise that it's one of the most widely played and watched sport, and as an industry enjoys a healthy state of affairs both globally and in South Africa. South Africa's challenge in history is characterized by different elitism. Our community remains very sensitive to any suggestion of exclusion or elitism. While golf is an easy game to play in which to participate to the non-playing outsiders, its rules, etiquette and equipment can sometimes seem quite intimidating. This challenge of expanding and promoting the game to new communities is very much the driving force of the SAGDB. The SAGDB believes that golf is a powerful tool for social development, and growing the game will also help to build a nation to be proud of because it plays and lives by the ethics and the values of the game. As a body, we believe we are the right organization to drive these initiatives and achieve the stated goals. We can, however, only do this with the support of all stakeholders. I just briefly our vision statement. The SAGDB aims to make golf accessible to all South Africans by providing and facilitating practice and playing opportunities for learners and talented players from all the underprivileged communities, including previously disadvantaged communities. The SAGDB believes that golf is a powerful tool for social development, and growing the game will also help to build a nation. Mission statement, through its national approach to approved coaching programs, the SAGDB will identify and develop talented players from underprivileged South African communities who will popularize and spread the unique spirit of the game. Our position at the moment, the SAGD believes that moral, educational and socio-economic upliftment is vital to South Africa's future. By making golf more accessible and more appealing, the SAGD is recruiting South Africans to a sport that teaches an integral set of ethical rules and values which can be applied to all spheres. Just basically some stats of the SAGDB. The total amount of players that we've got in our database at the moment is 1,787. Of that, we have 35 coaches, all in previously disadvantaged areas, and we have 13 head coaches, also in previously disadvantaged areas, which looks after 166 players. Just briefly, some of our success stories. Muziwala Nitsweni has made the national side for South African Golf Championships in Malawi. He was introduced to golf at the age of 13 in Soweto. Was in our program until he was 18. Sipu and Muzi had been taken up by the Gary Player Golf Experience after they graduated from the SAGDB program at the age of 18. Two players, Cedric Roy and Jacques, represented South African University team at World Golf Champs in Spain in 2010. Our SAGDB team has beaten the national Scottish team in their single matches during the annual match at the Rand Park. Now, the same Scottish team beat the South African National Frontier team a week before that. So that's the improvement of the golf development players up to now. Two female players from the Free State are currently in the golf program at the HPC in Pretoria, which are sponsored by the National Sports Department. More than 60% of our players of colour participated in the under-13, in the under-23 IPT tournament of 2012 in Nelspruit, and the under-19 IPT tournament in Mafeking were introduced to golf and nurtured through our development program. We've also become a feeder program We've also become a feeder program to golf players of the High Performance Institution. Currently, 17 of our players from our program are part of the NELS Foundation. Just further records, 2011, 56 of our players at different age groups received provincial colours, of which 120 of a possible 120 players. Our order of merit, just basically, we've got a guy here in Boland called Keenan Africa. He's 16 years of age. His current handicap is 2. His current average gross score is 70.21. Our top under 19 player is Shane Ross. He's 18 years of age. He plays with a 3 handicap. Under 17 player is Keenan again. Our under top 15 player is Dylan Jacobs. The age of 15 is a 2 handicap. Jaime Malik from Western Province. He's 12 and a half years of age. He's playing off a 7 handicap. Well, our program is called Project MIT, which is Management and Identification of Talent. And this was implemented in 2010 and will guide and identify the overall structure of the SAGDB's future coaching and operational strategy and program. This program incorporates the PGA of South Africa's long-term athlete development coaching program. The program is divided mainly into 3 areas: operations, coaching, and selection. But the program, which and every region has got chapters, and these chapters is coached by a development coach from the community. And the chapter consists mainly of between 40 to 50 players, and then it's broken up of level 1 players, and level 1 players are the kids that for the first year are taught the basics of golf. In the second year, they then move on to, if they pass the examination, they move on to playing in MASHI courses. And then the third year, they then become eligible to play on normal golf courses. Out of those players, we then pick a lead squad of 12 players in each province. This is the 13 provinces that the country is divided up into. For those 12 players, the SAGDB pays all their fees to participate in South African junior golf tournaments throughout the country. And this is where they get their provincial colours from. We're also looking at certain under 23 players at this stage who are currently representing the under 23 team to keep them within the system. We have a national squad, which is sponsored by the Sun International Group and which is sponsored by the Sports Trust. And this national squad is taken up of 24 players throughout the country, and they are then coached by Grant Hepburn, who is our national coach, on an ongoing basis, so that they can play in the junior golf's national tournaments. In terms of coaching, I'd like to get Grant to discuss that, but then just points of concern for the Golf Development Board at this stage. There's a certain amount of lack of support from local, provincial and national government. We're battling to get approvals from the LOTTA at this present moment in time. One of our biggest concerns at this stage is that the Department of Sports does not include golf as part of the sporting code. And it makes this all the more difficult for the Golf Development Board, especially in rural areas, to get kids to participate, because the teachers say, well, golf is not a sporting code, why must we get involved? So that is definitely a problem. We definitely need, from government's point of view, a tertiary scholarship, not only for players, but those who are interested in golf-related matters. And then the last thing is that there's definitely a lack of public facilities. And this severely hampers our efforts. We understand that golf course is an extremely expensive project. However, you can put up little MASHI courses at far less. I mean, we are so grateful at this stage that a place like Huddle Park is coming back on stream, where it's a public golf course, kids can go and play there on a regular basis. We've got Windsor Park in Durban. That is basically my presentation. I want to come back now to the questions that were raised. First of all, in provinces. Golf, South African golf is basically over 100 years old, and it's divided up into 14 provinces. And those provinces are more regions than actually in terms of what the South African situation is. While they're not provinces in our list, That is basically purely one thing, and that's funding, national funding. We cannot get to all of the provinces at the present moment in time. There's also a decision that was taken by our board, that our chief donor had said that for every rand that we collect from sponsors or from the South African Golf Association or whatever the case may be, he will give a rand. Now, there are certain provinces that are not contributing to this situation, and that is why our chief sponsor said we cannot get involved there because there's no funding available as far as it's concerned. In terms of future golfers in rural areas, I have given you our success stories. And we believe that one like Muzi from Soweto is definitely a future James County, if not better, as far as that's concerned. I think that covers most of our discussion as far as the Golf Development Board is concerned, Mr. Chair.
Okay. No, I think we should continue.
Candy seems to have touched many members of the
And
then can I be true now with presentation?
What?
Are you true with your presentation?
I
wanted to allow him space to say one or two before members of the question.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also just like Mr. Hepburn to explain what he's doing with our coaches from a coaching point of view throughout the country, because all our coaches, like Simon, for argument's sake, Simon Jacalia, come from rural areas or come from communities most of them were previously golfers, either on the professional tour or the Sunshine Tour, and they knew how to play the golf, but it's not easy to communicate how to teach golf, and this is where Grant is coming as far as that's concerned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ken. I think it's important just to point out that I'm pretty much wearing two caps here today as a member of the PGA and also as someone that's employed by the SAGDB to institute the training and the coaching around the country. And what we do, as Ken said, we have more or less 60 coaches around the country in all the provinces. Most of them come from underprivileged backgrounds but have some type of golfing experience. And what we did was we joined forces with the PGA and developed a program that is very specific to what our coaches do, because it's important to understand that our coaches get involved very much at the grassroots level, at the beginner stage. I think kids come into our program pretty much from the age of 8 years old, many of them having never even seen a golf club. So we really do get into rural areas. Those youngsters are introduced to the game, and the basics are taught to them, and it's really important to get these basics right. So we make sure that all of our coaches around the country are specifically trained in order to be able to do that and to be able to take them from that basic level on through to the advanced stages. So the training is an ongoing basis. The training is recognized by the PGA, and these coaches are then put onto the PGA's website. We're busy doing it now as we speak. They are recognized by the PGA, so they not only are being trained, but they're also receiving a qualification that's recognized by the PGA, which is the governing body of coaching. What we also do then is, once the youngsters advance from beginners into more experienced golfers, we give them their own set of equipment, we get them memberships to golf clubs, we give them handicaps, we incorporate them in tournaments that are run countrywide, and they end up competing against all of the other youngsters from privileged backgrounds in the country, so that they really do compete on as close to a level playing field as possible. We try and give them as many opportunities as we can. Obviously, we're also always limited by funding, but we make sure that they have good equipment, that they get to eat at the tournaments, that they're properly housed and fed, and we've already seen now many of our youngsters coming through, making the provincial teams, and we're very, very well represented in all of the provinces. And as Ken said earlier, we just this year had the first youngster, Moody, has been selected to represent South Africa. And this is a youngster that's been with us since the age of about 10 years old. So, and before then he had never played golf and would have had no access to golf. So 90% of our youngsters would not have had access to golf if it weren't for the SAGDB. So I think that's pretty much all that I have to say. And thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.
It's good that we've invited God to come so that we can hear that there's a family of Muslims also important in God. There's something which I don't understand, which you say that the Department of Sport is not recognizing or they are not working with you. They are not funding you. You must try to set up a meeting with the department. Because in the department, there is money for mass participation. Now, mass participation is broad. So you can tap into that money. Because that deals with amateur, and there's that for people to play sport. So I think you need to have that meeting with the department. And so that you can go and learn to, because to me it's a concern. In your input, you only raise a name of Muzi. There is no the Hatri which is mentioned. And there are people who want to play golf. So to me, I'll say that try to have a meeting with the DG. If you have to knock on the minister, so as to explain that, look, this we know that golf is very expensive. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Like I mentioned earlier about my knowledge of golf, but you see, you realize that, you know, some golf courses, well-renowned golf courses, are based in areas like Sun City. And Sun City is actually built in a rural setup. You see, my concern is, how do your association introduce golf to local people? I know that most of the people are not exposed to golf, but what are you doing in particular to introduce golf to young South Africans to start, you know, developing interest in playing golf? Like, you know that a well-renowned golf player, Gary Player, the golf course in Sun City is named after him. But what is he doing to plow back to the local community to help them, you know, develop in terms of golf?
Thank you, Chen. Good morning to you.
In the presence of the chair, yes.
No, thank you, Ted. Good morning, colleagues. I had my questions written down, but Ken has answered most of them. But I'm seeking for, you know, some clarity on some of the issues. First, one must congratulate you. I saw the list of all the, you know, your top players, and I'm happy to see youth, you know, actively involved. But the challenge is, how do we then sustain that in the midst of the challenges that you're putting forth? So what I'm seeking from you is, have you put together a diagnostic to speak to the challenges so that even when you are engaging the department, you are able to speak to specifics as to exactly what it is that is priority number one if you want to achieve the social cohesion that you spoke about earlier? Because golf being a one-man sport, and I say so cautiously, social cohesion as a launchpad is quite a big jump. Something very, you know, trying to speak of that on a one-man basis. So, one person. So, I'm looking at now the issues that the Honourable Member has touched on. What is the program of reaching out to rural areas in the absence of the infrastructure and the limitations which you spoke of? How are you advancing that in the middle of this, you know, this impasse which we are speaking about? Putting the department aside for a second, I mean, I think we've all noted your concerns, with great concern ourselves. What specific programs are you running individually whilst you are still trying to engage the program? Because I'm also seeking the levels of proactiveness in which you have it, which I think are there, but I think for clarity we need those as well. So I just wanted to gauge on those issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mackenzie.
As remember, sharks will have the last word, Chairperson. thank you, Chair. Thanks very much for the presentation, gentlemen. Just a couple of points that I'm curious to understand. You say there's no government support disregarding funding. No government support, no lotto support, no school support. I think my colleague has touched on getting together with the department, but those are crucial areas that need to be resolved. And you can come to this body for help to ensure that that happens. That's why you're here, so we understand your challenges. What I would like to know is, where does corporate South Africa fit in? Because, let's face it, golf has a perception of being a rich man's game. And yet, I know a lot of people who love the game of golf who are not particularly rich, but it is a challenge for a middle-class family to play golf. It is a challenge. So my question is, how do we develop this game of golf so it reaches the masses? For example, does the world body that controls golf, do they contribute money for development in member countries? Because the other major codes do that, so that should be a priority for the controlling body. That's number one. Number two, have you got in place with the golf clubs in this country, private and municipal, if you will, have you got development programs in place with them where they adhere to a certain code of practice so we can develop the game at that grassroots level? For example, a lot of the country golf clubs and the smaller towns around our country on full all the time. They're not busy all the time. It's mainly weekends. But are there programs during the week where youngsters, disadvantaged youngsters, historically disadvantaged people, can access them? Because the clubs, most of the other major codes, clubs have a major role to play. And as part of government policy, their clubs have a massive role to play in the new sports plan. So that's why I'm dealing on that. Is there a caddy school? Because a lot of caddies get to understand golf better than anybody else because they're with players all the time and can become very good players and spread the gospel of golf. And finally, the suppliers of equipment of golf, for the sport of golf, whether it be balls, clubs, drivers, whatever the gloves, whatever the case might be, shoes, how do they come to the party to help develop the game as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got just one question. Question which is based on what they said about training a person, the number of years that they take to train a person to become a professional golfer, which is 20 years. I'm kind of trying to look at who Tiger Woods is. That in my mind, if I'm right, that at the age of 20, Tiger Woods was already playing professional golf, and then he was winning and earning money out of that. And here it takes 20 years to develop a golfer or a person in total for professional golf. Now I'm trying to check as to which year it's ideal for you to prepare a person to become a professional golfer, at the tender age, Somebody asked the question, which year specific? Would it be 5 years, 2 years, 3 years? Just that question. Thank you, Chair.
Having honorable leave.
I think Tiger Woods started when he was 2 years old. Yeah, there's a movie about, I mean, there's a film on that. Chairperson, you know, no, if you look into the adverse chairperson. No, but he was 2 years old, Chairperson. Really, he was 2 years old. That's not reading the house. Okay. Now bring the clip, Chairperson. I bring it here. Chairperson, you know, to have sports development, you need money. You need money. If no money, there cannot be development. It's as simple as that. And countries are where they are because of money, Chairperson, and the assistance that they get. Firstly, let me really appreciate what your board is doing, sir. You know, I read about a man, and Chairperson, we must invite that man here one day. He is Mr. Goff. Rupert. You are Rupert. That man, as if I read all, and I read all these documents, it's because of him that we are in golf today, where we are. And nobody else really. Yes, there was the coaches and all these other people, but he made it possible with the money that he put down, Chairperson. That is, it's the truth. My question is, Chairperson, you say you don't get money from the lotto. I know I'm from Port Elizabeth. I'm from the Eastern Cape, and you only mention the Eastern Cape, I think, on page, or Eastern Drums on page 28 of the document. I'm from the Eastern Cape, Chairperson.
There's good reason for that, sorry.
Yeah, I expected something. Now, an application was made to Lotto for plus minus 8 million rand. About 5 years ago. It was made by a group of people from Port Elizabeth. People interested in golf, as they said. That money went to Port Elizabeth 4 or 5 years ago. It went through the council, and then what it was redirected to some other destination. We visited Port Elizabeth about 3 months ago, Chairperson. And we were taken around, I think, Cor and I were in the same transport. And then the guy who was our guide said, listen, just stop here. And he said, you know, this is where the golf course should have been. In other words, the guy who was the guide also knows about the development of this golf course. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, that money disappeared. My question to you is, if people apply for funding for golf, especially to the lotto where you are starting to get your foot into, a foothold, do they have to get your blessing to apply? Because if it is not, it's not the case. I think the time has come that they should have your blessing. You should be knowing what is happening in golf. That is very, very important. You should know. Because at the end of the day now, today you sit here and we ask you the question. You must be able to answer that question. In other words, what I would advise you to do, that is now my experience in my own backyard, is that money was applied for and along the line it disappeared. And I'm digging into that to really find out what happened to that money. That's the first question. Now, Chairperson, we also talk here about junior golf and small people and development. I love development. But we've all touched on development. But you know, there are senior golfers in this country who were also and still are disadvantaged. They are brilliant, brilliant golfers. And really today I'm speaking on behalf of one. His name is Colin Mavuso. He's 50 years old, chairperson. His shack was burned down, chairperson. His ID was destroyed, chairperson. He had to you know, when I look at that man, his humility, everything that he has, and he really has a passion for the sport of ours, of God. And why I'm saying this, chairperson, I want to find out whether you have a sort of system, a system of assisting such people. Every week he must play golf, he wants to play. And to remain good, he has to play regularly. We all know it. There's no assistance for the man. And perhaps, I don't really want to say it, but most of the time I must pay something, pay everything for him. And then I think to myself, where are those who really should be supporting? Because if there is one Colin Mavuso chairperson, there are many, many more than one. My question to you is, do you have a system in place in all provinces to support such people as the Colin Mavuso sort of world?
Yeah, Chair, what I can't understand is the issue that they can't get funds from Lotto. Lotto is just advertised on Sunday. If you look Sunday newspapers, and they're inviting all sports bodies to apply. And there is no exclusion of golf. And when the people of Lotto, you engage them. For instance, I think their closing date is in November. Federations or sports bodies has a tendency to apply late, and there is first come, first serve. The earlier your application is there, the better, because golf is a sport. And that advert which we talk about is advert for sports bodies. So golf is also part of it. And as my colleague now directly said, that we pick up this, that as people in Port Elizabeth has applied, and they were given this 8 million. So this is nowhere that Lotto is not funding. But let us also just clean our houses, set things in time in. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. I think the leadership is here, is going to answer some of the questions. Ken, I think we will also assist me on this one. Firstly, we should agree that we must transform our structure to represent the entire society. If we would in the right 18, 20 years down the line, structure that still represent a solutionary approach to society, or structure general, should reflect the total composition of South African society. And it's the task of the leadership of the board to ensure that we do. When I look at your structure general, board members and directors, it's very clear, general, that we have not really transformed the structure into a bit to ensure that it represents the entire interest of the society and your development and the ambition. I take a view, of course, that some of these matters take time, but that there should be visible attempts to transform every structure that you have. Otherwise, you would. Because when I look at every documentation, the Zika one that we have submitted, it's very clear that the leadership general must work it out in such a way that the entire society feels the soul, the gender issues, the accommodation. The argue point that I'm raising, and we may not be the person responsible for it. It's for you, the team, to show this. But the transformation of any society depends on leadership. Transformation of Orlando Pirates would depend on leadership. Orlando Pirates. Transformation of Sharks would depend entirely on leadership provided by the president of Sharks. Therefore, leadership of institutions, they should also show their willingness. we all agree that support could assist us to unite the society, then we shouldn't have organizations that have been exclusively out of touch of many other people. I think we should really try whatever we can do. Because if we are not doing it, many sports that are very critical, they'll end up really general being a sport that are not necessarily exclusive of all sorts of people. I'm mindful of all that takes time for people to play golf. And I guess I used to visit one golf club in Johannesburg when I was a boy from the land. I used to be a kid there. I don't know if I know golf today or not. But the point that I'm raising in general is that leadership should be provided to every structure we serve on. Can your team automatically win that? Or CEO, your team automatically win that? To ensure that we always persuade people to perform, include as many people as possible. And then I'm not talking about 16 children, people are interested in soccer, football, it's not a point of operation. But this is a very important point that I wanted to raise. Unless there are proper cross-national approach, some of our old sporting bodies will remain completely unchanged. It's not in the interest of all of us. You wouldn't be in our interest. I think your leadership also at the fourth level can't be in their interest. There's a structure that is almost representative of the old way of doing things. We may force people into this, but I think that's a problem. I think we should work on it systematically. I think your leadership must find a level best to assist on that. But the point that Ken also wanted to say, that's one of the comments brought to Ken. Try to persuade all of you are involved in sport, any sporting coach, consciously changing the way you think that it's happening. Because it is in our interest, in all of us, to ensure that the entire society is fully behind us in terms of sport. They will never be behind us if they feel excluded completely from participation. And I think we should do that. Therefore, the leadership to me, the point that I'm raising, that the leadership issue is a critical point. And when we invite people in this meeting, we always ask them to answer three questions. One question is the governance of the structure. How do you govern your organization, your association, and your structure? Because some of the problems that are there in Pepitlot is that they found that people, 8 million runs, they leave, and they disappear. Then they come after 20 years and they say, hey, my daughter is not giving us money. But then Lotto says to them, give us the account, how did you use the money? There's no documentation on that. And it becomes helpful. And also another point that we always emphasize, development of sport. Because we take a view that government alone won't have resources to develop sport for everyone. Because a lot of competing interests in government. And then we need water, we need housing, we need this and that. Therefore, those who are working in sport, consciously. My view generally that we shouldn't have a situation where leadership or sport have to be pushed to transform the society themselves. We can't realize it. I just say that willingly they must be doing things correctly to reflect that their own people generally. Because it's not that all of us are African. Therefore, whatever we do should be jealous about the inclusion of every person who's interested in any case. And I know that I'm not playing golf at the moment, but I think I'm better than McCain's in terms of understanding how to play golf. But it's better than me in understanding how to play rugby. That's why the president of the church in KZN. It's precisely because of that. But the point that I'm raising there, that leadership must take lead on society. It can't be right that we should have organizations that are not transforming themselves, take longer than expected to transform themselves, knowingly very well that we won't succeed if we exclude other people in participation. We won't succeed, completely won't succeed. And then no government anyway can fund an exclusional organization completely. There's no government that ever do that. The government must always sponsor generally to others. At the point that I was raising anyway in chamber, I think we'll address it one day. I'm not sure is it possible to turn sport that were meant to be played by elite in a society to be a mass participatory sport. Rugby was meant
and then to remain a master again.
But is it possible to transform sport that were meant for the indigenous society to be a mass participatory sport? Because unless we address that ourselves, anyway, Mr. Lee, and then unless we address it ourselves, we understand the problem and limitation. Because I think God was meant for the entire elite in the society to enjoy themselves. And they're not making anything, therefore there's no production expected from them. They are free, enjoy themselves. And then I think my kids want to transform it to become a mass participator. The mass is in sport of a state and so forth. It's a very nice way of doing things. But I'm not sure whether it's possible to transform those sports. But I think we must address it ourselves. I think the team that is here from Khayelitsha, maybe that we must participation in golf. Because golf courses are very expensive. And I'm not sure which local government will have men. And there are many to one special city check. But our area is very important. Sure, I saw one in Chowa. It's underutilized anyway. And I just guess that we should be doing things, Ivan, that will assist all of us to start really moving in society. Because I think there's a general agreement that we must develop sport in our country. Therefore, there must be concerted effort to develop sport in our country. I think there's no one now arguing that we must develop sport in our country. If golf course is going to be part of the Olympics, then therefore, there will be other. That's why the minister then he wouldn't say, I can't work with golf. And then the minister would get involved generally because it's part and parcel of the Olympic Games. But how do we develop sport in a very systematic way in our country is a very important thing. Because it's very easy for many of us who are elite in the society to remain in what we were long time ago in Alexandria. And then forget that you've got a society to lead yourself. Bear in mind anyway that leadership is not just only us who are here. Leadership is every corner of the society. Sport, the leaders there, society, the leader, the community, the leaders there, churches, the leaders there. You are sad. Because very easy to blame us for everything. There's no money. But your leaders, you are sad. We must be appreciative of the fact that there will be limited resources in government. And then, of course, we appreciate the contribution made by the team here. But we should try to change things. There shouldn't be anything that is failing us down. I think if we agree that sport is very important, develop sport, you unite the country, you inspire the confidence of our people, you make sure that people become healthy. In fact, many of us, in fact, I think the Olympic Games many years ago, all of us are very excited about it. But after Olympic Games, again, we don't really have some effort to ensure that the next Olympic Games we perform at the highest level. And I know of course you lost one. I think you couldn't make it very well. But that is the point that we are raising, that if all of us, the leadership of us, leadership of soccer, leadership of all sporting codes, they must know themselves that they must account to society for the development of sports. Because otherwise they will end up pointing fingers to every person themselves, the leaders of sport, the mother country society about the failure of development of sport in whatever area they are deployed or they are located. Otherwise if we don't do that, all of us will blame ourselves on that. But the point that I wanted just to make that as a comment, after Ken, you have presented a very good development plan. And I'm not sure about constant singer. That was a very exciting time. But Ken, I think I was just making a general comment. When we invite colleagues here, we want them to address the question of leadership. What leadership are they providing in the sporting code? What are the challenges of their leadership in this? And what is that are doing to ensure leadership again related to how to transform the sport? And how are you leading the transformation of sport? Without excuses for any type of thing, it's very easy for us nowadays to put lots of excuses. Money is the biggest excuse. But some of the sport don't need money so much. They need just leadership in that. The development of sport, you always raise the most, and governance of sport. I think sport is a rich man's sport, as they say, but it's a poor man's sport.
general, therefore, I think governance issue can't be a, but we have noted that even structures that are well endowed in terms of resources, but sometimes at the governance level is a problem. And then the governance level is a problem. That's the point that we always want colleagues who are invited to address these four fundamental issues of transformation of one form. And then other issues really become part and parcel of building up. And that's the point that we are raising here. But Ken and Ivan and the team, I think there are colleagues who are coaching. You can also contribute to us. But I think it seems golf is a very nice sport. Many of us you watch when I in the PGA in America everywhere. In fact, we met the tennis South Africa very soon, the president of tennis South Africa was here. I think it could be right, it can be right that when you present, you start, but there's no man. Because once you start saying that all of us say there's no man, then what do you want us to do? But what is it that is provided by that leadership to ensure that they address the question of development? So that's why it's doing the tennis South Africa. Because we thought that the tennis South Africa has gone down. Not because of money for that matter. It's just lack of leadership in some of these organizations. Not just money, tennis. And then, of course, my team, African Wanderers, disappeared. I used to support African Wanderers from KZN. Katapas disappeared. We were not again because of money, but because of poor leadership of this organization. And then we of course, we blame money in the KZN team, we blame money. But generally, there was a poor leadership of that team. That's why the team disappeared. Golf, of course, can't disappear. I think golf is very important. But the point that I'm raising, Ken, that you must assist us time and again to take us through and real issues that is moving there. Because if we don't do that, we wouldn't have a sense about the totality of golf in our country. Whether we are challenging, of course, money, we know that we accept it. But I think beyond that, there's leadership issues that we're raising. I want to take care and Ken, you can take us through. Yes, sir.
You know, there are certain things which I don't understand. The more you go through this document, you said that lotto, but here on page 21, the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund supports the SAGDB to grant for the national training program and equipment. Then on page 21, there is this number of sponsors and what have you, like sponsors, city lot groups, any health invitation network, sunshine, and what? It's a number of them. Where does this fund go to? Because really, I was just telling you now, I see that now some of the things which you say is contradicted to what is in your document.
Okay.
And the issue with the chair is also raised, if you look at your board members, really, it's a problem after 18 years. Really, thanks.
And this has to do with municipality. There is a fund called the MIG Fund, M-I-G Fund. And as from this year, is it 15%?
Yes.
15% of that fund is supposed to go to the development of sporting infrastructure in municipalities. For nothing else but that. The reason why I'm saying this, Chairperson, is perhaps to just inform you that you can go to your municipality now and tell them, listen, from the golfing side, this is what we want to see what is done there, you know, with the money that is earmarked for sport in your municipality. In other words, that is a way of sort of forcing them to give you a few grants and to support the Colin Mavusos of this country too.
Mr. Chair, first of all, in terms of board representation, we're going through a transitional phase at this stage, but if I can recall, when we started with the board, we had members like Kulu Sabia, Don Newby, Stephen Newby on our board in those days. I mean, I had a co-colleague called Martin Pinter, which I think you might know, from Gauteng, was a director of the board with me. Cheslin Mostert was chairman of this board. So I'm just saying that we're going through a transitional stage at this stage. And my current chairman, Mr. Selwyn Nathan, is extremely well aware of change, of changing the system, of board representation. So I just wanted to clear that up as far as that's concerned. The second point was in terms of corporate governance. We are a Section 21 company. We are audited by PricewaterhouseCoopers on an annual basis. We've just received a clean audit once again, unqualified audit report, and this will come through in October when we have our annual board meeting. Coming back to the gentleman as far as sports trust and the lotto is concerned, yes, we did receive money from the lotto. Yes, up until 2 years ago, Andre Rousseau, who's my colleague over here, was represented at Lotta, and it was then said that golf had to get its house in order because there were too many bodies asking about funding from Lotta. And we then had to channel all our requisitions through the South African Golf Association. Now, that is where the thing is falling flat. And I don't want to counter blame or anybody as far as that's concerned, but that is where it's falling flat. Secondly, in terms of the Department of Sport, when Martin Punter and I were together, and we're talking 6 years ago, golf was recognized as a six-stop sporting code. We were getting from the Department of Sport on a regular basis a R500,000 a year in terms of transportation, which we then submitted on a yearly basis, all the invoices, etc., paid for. What then happened was that subsequently a new president of the SAGA came in. He said to the Department of Sport that at this stage, all funding must go through the SAGA. They are the recognized federation in South Africa, not the Golf Development Board. We are only regarded as a service provider. And that is where things then suddenly stopped as far as we were concerned. Any effort that we had to make through the Department of Sport, we always had to go through our federation, which is the South African Golf Association. So I just want to clear that point up. In terms of not money, sir, we have got money. But the question I said we haven't got money is to expand our program. We haven't got additional enough funds to expand our program. Now, I've covered the Department of Sport mass participation. In terms of the gentleman asked about the social cohesion and corporate South Africa, we have just recently concluded basically an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with the Sunshine Tour. And what that means is that every new open that they start tournament, like the Cape Town Open, like the Tshwane Open, like the Polokwane Open, we will be getting a certain amount of funding from that open on a yearly basis to open a new chapter in that region. So for example, the Tshwane Open, we're getting a certain amount of funding there. We have to open a chapter in Pretoria. In terms of the Polokwane Open, we have to open a chapter in Polokwane. So that and Cape Town Open, that is also now coming, we have to open additional chapters. And that money comes all from corporate sponsors. So any new transaction that the Sunshine Tour now undertakes will have a corporate social responsibility element in it, in terms of corporate South Africa. So that is a very positive situation. One of the corporate companies that has been sponsoring us all the time has been Remgro, one of Mr. Rupert's companies. They pay for all our administration costs as far as that's concerned. Coming back to municipalities, yes, we have negotiated with municipalities. One municipality being Etiqueni Municipality, which is in Durban. Now, we've got a major problem with that municipality because they suddenly, after 6 months, didn't pay us. We continued with our program over there. We had to close the program down for the time being because they're not paying us because they've got internal financial problems as far as that's concerned. So they owe us basically 200,000 rand for work that we've already done. So yes, we are negotiating with the municipality. My manager in the Free State is negotiating currently with Putita Chaba, and he's currently negotiating with Bethlehem and Clarence, those municipalities, because that's where we're actively involved in those areas as far as that's concerned. Yes, we have put up an application to one of our world body, which is called the RNA, Royal and Ancient, and we're waiting for an answer to submit funding as far as it's concerned. Golf clubs, sir, once again, what's happened in South Africa is that every amateur golfer in South Africa, in terms of a resolution that was taken in 2008, had to contribute 35 rand a year to golf development, to the SAGA. Now, every member, when you're talking 130,000 rand, 130,000 affiliated members had to pay in 35 rand. That has gone to the SAGI. SAGI is now working with also not just our development program, but they've also got their own development programs going through the clubs. So that is where that funding has been split as far as that's concerned. And that is, so we can't go to the golf clubs and ask them for additional funding because their members are already contributing via that base. Caddy school, sir? Yes, there is a caddy school available at this stage, and we believe that the caddies must be representative. But they are represented at two bodies. Basically, they are represented through the SAGI and they are represented through the Sunshine Tour. And that is how that fits in over there. Supplies of equipment, to answer that, yes, we're getting supply equipment from suppliers. The other day, Cobra through Puma donated 800,000 rand worth of golf equipment to us, which was equipment that was lying all over in the United States, which was going to be destroyed. And then they heard about us and they said, well, here's the equipment. It's unbelievable, drivers and stuff. And that we're going to distribute now through to all our kids throughout the country that are playing currently playing golf. Tiger Woods, that was a good question that you mentioned there too. Yes, our kids start from the age of 8. But you must remember we've got to give them equipment. And we've been getting donated old second-hand equipment from past golfers, but it's all adult equipment. So you've got to downscale that equipment. It's no use playing, letting kids of this size, five-year-old, six-year-old kids, playing with adult equipment they can't handle. So that's the sort of thing. Eastern Cape, Mr. Chairman, I cannot answer you on the Eastern Cape. I know nothing about that as far as that's concerned. All I can say at this stage is that we did have an active program in the Eastern Cape, but the Eastern Cape Golf Union decided that they would only want to sponsor the elite players and not to assist in the grassroots application. So we're in negotiations with them at this stage to sort that out. Senior golf officer, I will leave that to my colleagues. I can't give you an answer as far as that's concerned. I've spoken about representation of board members, corporate governance I've spoken about, so I've covered everything. I would also, once Ivana's finished, I'd like Simon's got something to say, also discuss it. I think Andre might want to say something on Lotta because he's been at the field a lot, so if you permit us.
Okay.
Mr. Chip.
No,
this is around our intervention with development in the rural areas. Fortunately for us, we had the privilege of coaching Chief Patrick the Walmisa. And this was discussed extensively with him.
Did you coach him?
I coached him, yes. And it's just that he is not attending his coaching lessons regularly. So, to get into the rural areas with our program, this we discussed, as we said earlier on, that golf development program is capital intensive. You know, the interest to go in the rural areas with the program, it is there. But there are limitations around funding. So I just wanted to clear that as soon as we have enough in our hands, we will go into the rural areas. Right? It's part of our strategy of development. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to, obviously, I'm going to reply to some of the points. With regards to your history of golf, as mentioned, the PGA South Africa is part of the World Alliance. And to give you an idea where, you know, golf's come from like I said, being an elite sport. You know, I think in the early 1900s, a professional golfer, the only way someone really talented in golf who wasn't considered an elite player in the UK, or as you call it, a gentleman, had to turn professional because they weren't allowed. So, you know, that's where the history of the game's come from. When golf went to America, that was slightly different because it boomed at such a big time that when a pro golfer came over, they looked at that person as the elite. So in America, is a very different looking at how you look at it. With regards to Sun City, the gentleman is not here. The problem with Sun City, I worked at Sun City for 2 years, that the golf courses are owned by Sun International. It's a resort course that has no members. That's an issue with a course like that. It's a resort facility. Although they, I mean, they've got over 200 caddies who live in Lierdach and Chaneng and those areas. Like I said, Joseph Peary, who was a caddy, is now a member of the PGA South Africa, is actually a business partner of mine in a business. He works for Dale Hayes Golf Events. So there is those sort of structures, but unfortunately, you know, being a resort course, there's not really much opportunity for them to play. Just going on to what Ken said, and I think Ken's in a difficult position. There's some things he can't say with regards to the SAGA and WGSA. As the PGA of South Africa, obviously being a professional body, we don't have much. Right now, we have a mutual understanding with the SAGA, but we're not two bodies that really talk or communicate a lot. Like I said, because we look after professional golfers, we're only 500 people. The SAGA, they get the funding as Ken's gone through. And I think the problem comes in is that you've got 450 clubs who have committees. Those committees make decisions based for those golf clubs. Okay, they have a person who sits on the regional representative. Those regional bodies then have a committee. Those committees then make decisions. They then hand that over to the SAGA. So I think you have the SAGA who has programs. Like Ken said, they are a provider. They do something. But there's other what we call it factions within the SAGA who have their own understanding of what they'd like to do. All the 14 regions have an idea what they'd like to do. You know, and then the clubs have their own ideas what they'd like to do. So it's not one unified project, if you understand what I'm saying with regards to golf development, which is an issue, and we are aware of it. But yeah, and I think that's where what makes it so difficult. The SAGA being a body that I think meets twice a year. Very difficult to get to, and their president changes every 2 years, so you have a different person come in. With regards to the players, Ernie Els has his own foundation, Louis Oosthuizen has his own foundation, Sally Little, who I believe I met her yesterday, she has addressed you, she has her own trust where she gives money. Dale Hayes, he has his own junior tournament so a lot of the players contribute in that sort of way. I think, you know, Ernie Els and Louis get funding from their own sponsors. So Ernie's with Callaway, so I think what does he get from there? But also Ernie Els and Louis Oosthuizen get money from the RNA, which is the body we're talking about, because they've won the Open Championship. With regards to RNA funding, Ernie won the Open Championship, which is the elite major in golf to win. The RNA, or as they call the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St Andrews, they raise £5 million a year for the development of golf worldwide. So if you understand golf, you take the continent. America looks after America, the USGA, and Mexico. The RNA look after golf in the rest of the continent. I think it's 178 countries where they try to assist the game. The only way the RNA will give funding is through the home federation. So us as the PGA, if I've got a program I'd like to start, I have to get the SAGA to back it and sign it, which is that's where you know we have problems, because we've got to go to one of their meetings, they've got to discuss it. If they put a signature, it goes to the RNA then gives funding. See, we're fortunate in a position right now where as the PGA, we're trying to grow PGAs into Africa as a continent, and we're doing something with Botswana, and the RNA is paying for that. So like I said, but it's a professional body trying to... So that's how the RNA funding works. I've gone through golf club programs. They all have their own programs. Caddy programs. To give you an idea, I worked at Sun City in 2005. We had 200 caddies, I think, at Sun City. I was there the other day. I think they've got 120. So caddies are changing, and as an association, I don't really know what the answers are to that. I don't see a lot of young people going into caddying. So it's not really something from the PGA side that we're actively involved in. That's more club or SAGA matter. But there are programs, I think, from my understanding. It also has a tarnished background from companies that got involved and people made money, and you know, so it's also that kind of problem. Equipment suppliers are involved. Just to give you an idea, what happens with a lot of golf clubs, they have their festivals of golf. Club members donate all their old equipment, shoes, clothing, all of that. And generally the club then hands it up in their own program, or they then hand it to the regional province, and they then use it for their own program. So there's a lot of that does happen. with regards to your question with developing a goal for 20 years, I think what I need to do is I'll clear that up a bit, and then Grant will explain. But long-term athlete development, which was, I think, developed by a Canadian professor, basically says from the time that you start playing the sport to the time where you reach the elite. So when I say elite, you take Louis Oosthuizen's 29, so he won the major at the age of 27. So in golf, we're talking when you win a major championship, that's when you reach the elite. So someone like Louis Oosthuizen started the game at 4 or 5 and won a major at 27. Tiger Woods is an anomaly because he started the game at like 18 months old. What you were talking about, he was actually on the Bob Hope show at the age of, you could just walk, yeah, 2. And he won a major at 21. So you see, it's very close, 19 years from the time he started to the time he hit the elite. So that's where the 20 years come in. But I'll take Sir Nick Faldo. Nick Faldo started the game at 17 and turned professional at 19. He won a major early in his 30s, so he also did something, but it gives you an idea of that you can start golf at 14 and turn professional at 17, but if you ever reach that elite, it depends. And I think that's basically, I've gone through all the questions, the rest of the questions were answered by Ken.
Okay, thank you very much, and of course the beginning of engagement, surely we other team that are not here, but we wouldn't represent them really, generally. I think we should also invite them in time. Almost the same federation one. To come in and do that. I think the women's one also. I think it would be a good idea also to invite them to come before the committee to have some engagement with us on some of the issues of sport. Because I think what is happening is upset in sport. Ken and Ivan, thank you very much for the presentation. Of course, we want to allow the rainbow team to answer for the development of Kailisha. Ken, you may also get some points there if you are not in hurry in terms of your flight. I think you can listen to some of their presentations, a very short one. And then just to see your other issue, but Ivan, if the flight is if you are squeezed in terms of time, of course you wouldn't report if you. And then thank you for coming, Ivan. It's important for us, I think, to have this interaction from time to time. I remember that deployed in various constituencies throughout the country. If that is function, sometimes invite them to see what you are doing. Sometimes it's nice for people to come and see what they are doing. And then to engage with them wherever they are in constituencies. I think it's very important to do that.
The Buddhist members, the parliament, the Kamalam Mupoe Daka, the KTS Timbeck, KT for 30 years. 2004, the end of Tisha Abandona was a Kaili Chai call, 11 years ago. Makon Abandona Balak, Abatatu Balala, he was then Roberts. In the better Abandona, Abetwa Yi, transport. Abana e transport. Ayiko e kit. Zikona e clubs e zindala. Omnye ababini senba promoti le banga maketi. Naba vechel panga peshe. A maketi for 3 years. A golf estate. Jema njama nabantu namhlanje siforma e committee. E club yi Pizza's Rainbow Golf Academy. The Ekte Khayelitsha ngo 2004 kuzotsho ngoku. Into endicelayo nje ndicela nje uncedo lobheka phambili transport negate.
You can just accommodate all of us in terms of your language possible. But no doubt that you can accommodate all of us.
I know how to speak, but the problem is the kids, I want them to know what I'm talking about. They're struggling for a long time. Some of the kids, they don't understand English. I'm a Xhosa. So I like the people they must hear, the kids.
Sorry, through you, Chair. You want some assistance from us.
That's it, yes.
But now here are the golfers. The kids, you can explain to them outside that this is how I represented, and you had a meeting that you are coming to present here. So if you want assistance, speak so that the people who will render you the assistance understand. The kids know what are their shortcomings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Of course, really. Every member is allowed to speak in any language that is comfortable with. But the reason I think Cora is raising it is that if you can communicate to accommodate other members, do that. Because they exist anyway, they know exactly why you are here. Therefore, they will know very well that you are representing them very well on some of the issues. I think that's what we should do.
Thank you, Mr. Bill.
Of course, if there are translation, we can do that, but we don't have translation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very happy today if the people that change the language. I was aiming to talk golf about Xhosa. But thanks. I'm a KD. I teach kids. When these kids are suffering to go forward, their parents, they don't understand what I'm doing. They thought I want to make money about their kids. The pain to me is I spend my money for 11 years. I don't support my kids. That's why now I talk like this. This is not about I'm turning things wrong. This is my pain. Golf is very difficult. I'm from the rural areas. I want to go teach to the rural areas. But the problem is I won't get support. When I go there, even now, the people, when they listen, they talk about people. This is a Xhosa, but he's talking English. In my dream, I like Xhosa. Golf can turn to be a Xhosa. Nothing will destroy. Because we spend many years in golf. We are KDs. We don't get support. Some of KDs are dying on the golf courses. We're dying like flies. Nobody supports us. Even now, I'm not feeling well in my body about golf. But I say thanks. What I want to PGA to help, to SGB to help. We carry for the members at the golf course. They need good caddies, but there's no support. We want to sit down and teach our kids golf. I've got equipment, but my equipment is old clubs. The Steinbeck support me with the golf clubs. Even now, I'm sitting here, I'm sitting with a member of Steinbeck. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I'm a documentary filmmaker and a member of Steinbeck and an avid golfer. I've known Biza for a little over a year now. I am a golfer, yes.
You're not
this professional? No. Not quite.
But I
love the game. I'm an SAGA member. Playing in the World Amateur Golf Championships on Monday next week. I love the game, but more importantly, I like what Biza's doing. You see, the game of golf, and you mentioned this earlier, is an elitist game. But there are areas involved with golf that can support the community to a broader level. Course maintenance, caddying, management. And these areas are not quite developed in this country. This is what I think Biza is trying to say that he wants to develop, especially in previously disadvantaged areas. He's had clinics at Polsmoor and at Steinberg, but the funding around this is very difficult, and reaching out to organizations such as the PGA and the SAGA is difficult. Yeah. I think currently we're reaching out to other nonprofit organizations that don't have anything to do with sport or golf. One that went to Africa, it's a non-profit after-school program that deals with children with HIV. We're reaching out to golf academies in the United States, the David Ledbetter Golf Academy, to raise support for this. But South Africa is a great nation with a lot of great golfers. but to develop golf in previously disadvantaged areas is close to impossible. I think questions that we'd like to raise are, is there assistance to help people who don't have access to golf courses, who don't have access to equipment, who don't have the money to afford the game of golf? Are there programs that can be developed to help those kids learn the game?
But there are trainers here from rural areas, surely, even if after the meeting, I think it would be important to link up with Ivan. Ken, I think there's no harm for you to link up with people wherever they are and ensure that you are assisted in whatever way that we can assist them. And then there's a trainer from rural areas there. I think it would be a good idea to have joined their effort on some of these areas. And then I think we hear very well in Accra and some of the issues that they are raising. And you can comment. You want to comment?
Not yet. I just
thank you.
I think Visa's requests and comments around golf, you know, it touches my heart because I see somebody who has a passion for the game and somebody who is commanding respect in a given area or community in Kuguletu. This is manifested today by the number of people accompanying him to this a very important sitting. Then it means that it is for everybody who professes to have an interest in golf development to exercise sensitivity to that cry of the leader in golf development in those areas. I think, as you have correctly said, Mr. Chair, that we need to join forces, and even you know in issues of funding, I think as one honourable member said, that even funding from the lottery and other sources, you know, should be regulated. That there should be a legitimate body or a body that can account. Because sometimes it's easy to get money, to get funding, but to account as to how that funding has been utilized is another thing. Then the next time when one applies again, then it gets a problem of not getting through. So I think it is our responsibility as a national development body to exercise a sensitivity towards that cry and see how best we can link up our efforts, because very high on the agenda, it is the development of children. It's not, you know, leadership, interests, and other things. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not a fan, but there's no command and call out of the country. People follow that.
Chairman, actually, I just want to make a comment. It's just that we have got a program going in Khayelitsha, which is run by Tembisini. I don't know why they haven't made contact with Tembisini in the past. That's just a question I'm posing, that's it. Because we've got a very vibrant program in Khayelitsha going at the moment.
Yeah, I just wanted to raise the issue of Tembisili. It's good that you raised this because I know that Tembisili is running a program there. The other issue is that the provincial department, I don't know whether are you affiliated and what have you, but you must try to make a go and make a presentation there. There is funding there. And many of our people, they don't make use of these provincial departments. They just come here. Because in those provinces, they're supposed to serve you. So I think it's high time that you also try to engage them as well. But also link up with Temsile so that you can just get a coordinated issue, a thing. Because I know that I'm supposed to go for some letters to Temsile. No, honestly, that's not true. That's why I know it.
Well, I just that colleagues, they have presented their case. And members of parliament themselves who have this responsibility will sit down with them and have a discussion. And then we are here that we are here that of Ken is here, Ivan is here, they've listened on this man to the trainer is here. And then after that day we can see what is it that can be done collectively to assist them. That is the danger anyway, that everything is segmented in our situation. And it makes it so difficult to coordinate a very serious effort to see, because everyone wants to have his own thing. No, that is a bigger problem, General. It is one thing that we should avoid. I think if you're interested in cause, let us develop cause. Whatever person out there who are assisting us to develop cause, if they are doing it professionally, I think we should encourage them to do some of this work. I think that's what we should do. But we'll be there. If they come into the area, we have a discussion on that. Surely they know Tembisile. They are here knowing Tembisile very well. It is the very same thing that I think we shouldn't get involved in discussion about that. I think you are calling to them to sit down and have a discussion with them and assist them build out to link up with other people. It seems the trainer was saying all of us, we are committed to ensure that cause develops. If you are there too, we are going to be trained now. I think even Pumzi can be a good cause for now. It's a very important point that you are raising. Ivan, you want to comment and move on? I wouldn't want really to open a meeting for everyone. In the meeting for invited guests, we have invited, we've given input, we understand the challenges, the problems. It's one thing then when we interact with the Khayelitsha colleagues that we hear what are the issues. On that one. No, thank you very much for your attendance. No, but we are not really in that type of meeting. Only those who are invited are always allowed to do that. Otherwise, we may end up with an invisible meeting. It's not our intention to have invisible everyone talking. Let's tackle this problem. The point that really is that we should thank the golf team that is here. And surely we must meet with other golf associations that are there. I think that South Africa Golf Association. That is the overall body, federal body at the national level. In fact, we have followed with the invited them. And then of the federation, surely they would know what is happening in many other areas. But it seems a lot of problem here and there. But I think we are all hopeful really that golf is so we are going to develop golf for us. And thank you very much again for coming from north to south. And the weather is very kind to you. It won't be a bad idea to go to the mountain and enjoy yourself. And also I saw some golf course there in the mountain. You can do it very well to ensure that we learn how to do this. And thanks for training and trainers. And we hope you should just push on trying our level best. Not everyone will be a professional, but we want mass participation in sports. Not everyone is a professional, but we should have a basic understanding and love for the sport that we aim at. I think that's what we really wanted to achieve in terms of the sport in our country. Hopefully, Kenos, we have learned, we have already started the national sport plan for South Africa. It's important that there's no blockade course within understanding what is it that we want to achieve. You know that the sporting coach and has your sport in front of you, what is it that you want to achieve? The high performance sport and also the social sport. The sport for us and for us is to just to make ourselves happy.
Yeah,
but we'll never be professional. And then the high performance sport, I think, it's very important that we assist us to do that.
And let us work again, let us be in touch, let us bring Paul is here in terms of contact. And there will, of course, it's not a once-off meeting. I think we'll come again and make presentation. You shouldn't wait until we are invited. Sometimes we've got an issue that we want to raise in leadership in Poland. Surely this secretary must be able to allow you space for you to interact with leadership in Poland. If you are waiting for us to invite you, it will be 2019. And then, but if you are there, we say that you want to come and present as a new idea that you want to present, I think we'll highly appreciate that. Thank you very much, your team. And, okay, even myself, I'm going to learn. I'm not bad. I'm not bad. And then I'll learn again from that. And thank you very much for your presentation. But I think we should agree that the colleagues from the Khayelitsha Land Board has remained in the field. And then for a few seconds, really. And then we should allow the team to plan for coming. Can develop and not more.
But does they say the speaking for that? Because of don't take a number, yeah. As of the body, the number of Baba, the eight. Because of Mustafa, Baba.
Going forward.
No, you have a beautiful job. And And then thank you also for coming.
I didn't know that there are so many golf players in Khayelitsha. And it's important, great, for your passion and your team. Work out on this. Cora is going to be linking up with you. Have discussion with him. And then see, because as we are saying, that we are initiating a very big program. And now we are linking up with these other colleagues that are there. And then Cora is here. Let us work it out together and see what we can do. And then we are very thankful that really we have come and grateful for that. And we'll have this. One day we'll allow you to. It's just we wanted you to make a point. Even people who won't understand your mother tongue, at least they must understand your appeal. That's what you wanted to achieve. And then we know twice ourselves. We speak all languages. I'm from Alexander. I speak not 11 languages there. I can speak Shivan, who can't even understand yourself. Therefore, we won't assist you to make a point for me. That's what we are calling for. Assist us to accommodate people who got resources now ready to assist you to move forward. That was the main purpose. It was not to deny you a right to express in your own language. And then that, I think, that's what you wanted to do. And let us link up then and have a discussion on some of these areas. I think Cora will be quite helpful when they are playing. So we go and see what is happening in the international section in Kofana. Maybe very excited. That's what we really wanted to assure. And then we are saying we are developing the youth development. We are very enthusiastic about that. I think the committee is fully supporting you. Hopefully, many other sporting calls also somewhere is in that. And then in Khayelitsha, there will be no reason why South Africa. We can't produce athletes and we can't have a Houston Sports and all. There's no reason to that we can't have long runners, distance runners. There's no reason to it. We've been having marathon at this Comrade Marathon for many years. But in Olympic Games, don't produce anything below that level. I think it can be right. And I guess that we'll do that, colleagues, and we'll link up with you, have discussion. And then we'll link up with him also, Cora, I think Cora will link up with you and Tori from time to time, just to ensure that you work together to develop this this game. All of us are very excited to see you. Yeah. Okay, colleagues, thank you very much, Tori. And then we'll invite you again to come and meet with us. And thank you for your passion. Cora, you're not leaving.
No, I just want to get the
attitude.
The
attitude, yeah. You do have that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, colleagues. And thank you for coming.
I'm going to drink some bottle.